Chapter 10. I woke in a cold sweat, and the memory of my nightmare gripped my heart as it thudded against its bone cage. I could still hear the screech of the monkey as it came together in the box and then jumped out to attack me. It took a few seconds for me to calm down, but soon I was able to breathe normally. I reached out to wrap Noura in my arms, but my large bed was empty except for me. I thought I could hear the sexy djinn's voice as she moved around inside of her closet, and I wished that she had stayed next to me. Her song was soft, gentle, and sung in a language that I didn't know, and with every note I was pulled toward a desert at sunrise, and the heady scent of cinnamon wafted into the air from her bedroom. For a few seconds, I closed my eyes and let myself drift away on the vision the song created, but I needed a shower. The amazing djinn had been using her magic to wash and dress me for the last few days, and while I appreciated it, I wanted to just stand in a hot water stream and let the rest of that dream cycle down the drain. I threw back the plush comforter and climbed out of bed to amble over to the shower, and soon steam drifted up from the hot water that poured over me. I stuck my head underneath the water, and the rest of the terrible dream disappeared as my body began to relax.
"Good morning,"
Noura purred, as I came out of the shower many minutes later with pruny fingers. "Good morning," I breathed as I put on my towel. The breathtaking woman sauntered over to me, and her hips swayed with each step in tantalizing rhythm. When she reached me, she ran her hands up my chest and clasped them behind my neck before she pulled me closer. Her soft lips pressed against mine, and the last dredges of worry disappeared as I lost myself in the taste of her mouth against mine.
"Did you sleep well?"
she asked. "No," I confessed. "I had a nightmare."
"Oh?"
She gave me a wicked grin before she kissed me again.
"I can help you forget if you would like."
"Now that sounds like a good plan," I whispered against her lips. I slid my hands around her waist and then down her back until I grasped her round butt in my hands. A groan escaped me as she ground her hips against my stiff cock, so I tore the towel between us away with a flourish, grabbed her perfect ass, and lifted her up. Her legs wrapped around my waist as I walked her over to the mattress, then laid her down. I kissed along her neck, then I nipped at her earlobe as she moaned and arched against me. One of my hands slipped between her legs, while the other pinched the red spot in the middle of her right breast.
"Sir,"
Noura gasped when my mouth closed around her exposed nipple.
"Yes, yes, more."
Red and yellow flames pulsed below her skin, while the heat of her body rolled over me like dry tongues that were eager to devour me. I dipped my fingers into her and pressed the button of her hot clit as she pushed her hips against my hand. My kisses trailed up to close over her mouth just as another moan crawled up her throat.
"Oh, there, please. I need you in me right now."
"Do you have any more of that sand oil?" I asked. She was a creature of flame, warmth, and magic, and even as ripples of pleasure ran through her, she was still too dry for me to continue. Still, my hips bucked against hers when she ground herself against my hand, and I almost obliged her even before she could give me more of the oil.
"Here,"
she said, as she conjured another vial of the viscous purple liquid. I took it and uncorked it with my teeth, and hot need filled me as I dripped it down her stomach, then into my hand before I thrust my fingers back into her. "I want to taste you," I said, as I started to kiss down the length of her smooth belly.
"Later. Please, I need you in me now."
"As you wish." Her legs wrapped around my waist as I slipped into her at an agonizingly slow pace. I took my time as I pulled out, and when I pushed back into her, every gasp and moan fueled my desire for more. She arched against me as her walls tightened around me, and I lost myself in the feel of her velvety touch as she grabbed my hips to push me further into her.
"Fill me, master. Fill me with your seed,"
she gasped as she pulled me deep inside of her.
"Oh, I'm about to explode. I just need you to release deep inside of me. Please."
Bright light bloomed from her as she reached her pinnacle. The walls of her pussy clamped around me as I came, and pulses of pleasure ran up and down my spine as I poured my seed deep into her. I claimed her mouth as fiery tongues of pleasure raced through my veins.
"Oh, master,"
she said when I pulled away.
That was even better than the last time.
Next time I'll find out what you taste like, I promised, before I took her bottom lip between my teeth and gently bit down.
"Oh, I look forward to it,"
she said. A shiver ran through my body as she ran her nails around my stomach, then up into my hair. The sunshine that had erupted from her when she reached her climax had died down to slow and contented flickers of yellow and orange flame that spread over her as she looked up at me with her cold dark eyes. There was a knock on the door just as I leaned down to devour her soft lips again, and with a sigh I pulled away from her, then looked around for clothes. "Who would knock?" I grumbled while I tried to find my pants.
"Could it be Taslin?"
Nora asked as she sat up. "I think she would just come in," I said.
"I will get it for you,"
the sexy woman said as she stood. Her skin darkened, while the curling flames of her hair became silky tresses, and the white robes of her Diaflorian disguise covered the supple curves of her body. "That's okay," I responded. "I'll get it." I couldn't be sure it wasn't Cad or Otso on the other side of the door, and Cad was too curious for his own good, and I didn't want him asking too many questions about Nora. So it was just best if I opened the door.
"How about breakfast, then?"
Nora asked as she summoned clothes for me. "That would be wonderful," I replied, and my stomach rumbled in agreement. I walked over to get the heavy leather jacket where all of my soul gems were tucked away as a white tunic and leather wool jacket slid over my bare skin. I pulled out the necklace with Ferex's stone and then slid it over my head. I checked with my little Shamrosh guardian before I got to the door, and he growled, his tail slashed back and forth as he crouched down in my mind. I asked him to sniff the air, but he couldn't figure out who the smell belonged to. With a sigh, I reached into the stone that held Sal and let fire form in my hands just in case I needed to throw up a shield to defend myself.
"There?"
my lover said in a nervous tone. "I'm sure it's just Cad and Otso," I replied. At least that's what I hoped for, as I turned the knob on the door, then yanked it open. There was a gust of wind, but I didn't see anyone in the early morning light that poured over the far buildings and onto my laboratory. I took a deep breath before I stepped out into the day to search for whoever had knocked, and I held the fire in my palms so I could be ready for anything. There were no boxes or barrels to indicate it had been a delivery, and Ferex had begun to settle down, though the nervous creature continued to sniff the air. I released the fire that had begun to build in my hands in order to pull from the stone that held Tanotloid. In seconds, the world burst into colorful streaks of magic, and I followed all of them as I tried to find whoever had come to visit. There were trails that I thought might be small animals, but the two large lines of color that led directly to the door had already begun to fade. And though they were familiar, I couldn't figure out how I knew them, which did nothing to ease my growing nerves. With a sigh, I released the magic and then turned to go back inside. Whoever it was had already left, and Ferex had relaxed, so I knew they hadn't left anything behind or set any traps that the little creature thought were dangerous. A rustle of white caught my attention as I grabbed the door, and when I leaned back to look at it, I found a note taped to the other side of the wooden door. My heart pounded in my chest as I pulled the slip of paper down, but there were no identifying marks on the folded surface, and I hoped that meant it hadn't come from the Rusanos or the Korlems. I took a deep breath, then unfolded it to see a message in perfectly scrawled letters. "We know what you did, and you're going to pay." Panic raced through my veins as I read and reread the note, and I glanced around to see if maybe I had missed whoever delivered it, but there was no hint of clothing or hair to show me that someone was hidden in the forest or in the shadows. Ferex whined as my heart beat in my chest, but after a quick sniff, he couldn't pick anything up either, and he settled back down. Whoever had left it must have used a cloaking spell so I couldn't pick up their energy signature or scent, and that could only be the Rusanos. The Rusanos were energy vampires, and their assassin, whose soul I had trapped, had given me the ability to hide myself from magic. They had likely been the ones to leave the morbid present on my doorstep, so they already knew where I lived. And if they knew that I had killed their man, then I would definitely be their next target.
Is everything okay?
Nora asked when I shut the door behind me, then locked it. I think we need to leave town, I said. Just for a few days.
Where would you like to go?
My gin lover asked. I still need to get my parents for the wedding, I replied. That should take at least a few days, at least.
I would love to meet your parents,
Nora grinned.
And see where you grew up?
The door rattled on its hinges and I spun around.
There, why is the door locked?
Taslin's voice came through the door as she shook it again. Sorry, I said as I let out a sigh and unlocked the door. I just got this. The beautiful fox girl huffed and flicked her tail in frustration as I handed her the white slip of paper. She balanced her wicker basket on one arm, narrowed her eyes as she read the threatening letter, and pulled down her black hood to reveal her bright red hair.
Who left this?
She asked. I suspect the Rossanos, I said. Whoever it was hid their magic from me.
Like the assassin,
she mused as she walked over to one of my workbenches, slid her basket onto a cleared surface, and turned to look at me. Exactly like that, I said. After the delivery yesterday and the note this morning, I think it would be best if we disappeared for a few days. The black powder is almost done, and we'll have time after the wedding to finish it.
Where do you want to go?
Taslin asked. I need to bring my parents here before the wedding, I said. We could go get them. That'll take a few days. Janna will be safe with her parents, and Ilara shouldn't be a target.
We can go as soon as we've broken our fast,
my gin lover said.
Taz, have you eaten? Not yet,
the fox woman said.
But we also need to finish this spy mirror before we go. I spent all night getting all of the components ready.
Right, I muttered. I had almost forgotten about the meeting with the Iron Dwarves and Mr. K. But even if the Rossanos were after me, I still needed to expose the Korlem's treason and the war with the Iron Dwarves that was about to start. Breakfast first, I said with a nod of my head. Nora, we can get food from the dining hall. Did you want anything?
No need,
she grinned at me. A window in the front wall opened, and three bread trenchers piled high with fruit, sausage rolls, and cups of bean brew floated through the air. The window shut as the trenchers came to rest on a table in front of the plush silk couch that Nora had summoned when she first came to stay. Thank you, I said, as I leaned over to kiss her on the cheek.
So why do you think the Rossanos are after you?
Nora asked as all three of us sat down to eat. Probably because we killed their assassin, I said, before I took a bite of a sausage roll.
You killed him?
She asked. Only because he was going to kill us. I rushed to explain when my gin lover blanched.
Right, of course,
she said with a nod. Then she reached over and gave me a quick kiss.
I know you wouldn't kill someone without good reason.
So, I said as I turned to Taz, did you bathe all the metals in moonwater?
Of course,
she answered with a roll of her eyes.
All you have to do is melt everything down. I have black walnut ink to write the runes with.
I polished off the last of my sausage roll and then grabbed one of the cups of bean brew. I reveled in the hot, dark liquid as it rolled over my tongue, and I instantly felt more awake and ready for the day ahead. Perfect, I said. I'll get the furnace started while you two ladies finish eating.
I can do that,
Nora said with a snap of her fingers. Deep inside the furnace, yellow and orange flames burst into existence, then grew until they were hot enough for the smithing I needed to do without cracking the lining. Thank you, I said with a smile. You're amazing.
You're welcome,
she said, and I watched as flames licked the djinn's cheeks and resisted the urge to kiss her again.
I'll get the components,
Taz said as I stared at the lid to the wicker basket. Thanks, I grinned, wrapped my arms around her narrow waist, and kissed her neck as I brushed her thick tail. The beautiful fox girl spun in my arms, then pulled me in for a kiss. Her tongue tasted like bean brew and the hint of strawberries as she explored my mouth. Her breasts pressed into my chest when she crushed me closer, and I had to hold in a groan as my pants became a little tighter. It took effort to focus on melting the metal and glass down with two of my beautiful lovers so close, but soon I had the silver cooled enough to put the black backing on it. The black walnut runes shone for a moment before they faded from view, and then I carefully poured the glass into the mirror before I set it aside to solidify. It had come together well. All the times I'd fixed the professor's mirrors had come in handy, and as it came together, pride swelled in my chest. Our plan was going to work, and soon I would fulfill the fate that Taslin's tarot cards had predicted. At least, that was if we could stay away from the Rusanos long enough to record the black powder demonstration for the Iron Dwarves. Once I'd gotten that, we would send the spy mirror to the king, and the Korlems would be stopped before they could provide the Iron Dwarves with everything they needed to start a war with the River Kingdoms. "I think it's done," I said, as I stared at myself on the reflective surface.
"The runes turned out well,"
Caslin said, and her pupils were dilated as she stared at the magical contraption to see the markings hidden under the reflective surface. I was about to look through her eyes with the psychic bond we had when the mirror that the Lorans gave me began its tinkling ring. I flipped the mirror open to see my beautiful fiancée's face and the bright light in her green eyes as she bounced with excitement. "Good morning," I said with a grin.
"Good morning,"
she chirped back at me.
"Ilara and I are going to brunch. Have you eaten yet?"
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay,"
she said as she waved her hand dismissively.
"I figured Nora would have given you food already, but I wanted to check. Hi, Dana,"
Nora said as she poked her head over my shoulder.
"You look radiant this morning." "Thank you,"
Janel said with a blush.
"As do you. Is Taslin there?" "Good morning, Janel,"
my red-headed lover purred.
"Hey, everyone,"
Ilara squeaked as she peered around Janel's shoulder.
"Hello,"
we all chimed. "While you're both there," I started, "I wanted to let you know that Taslin, Nora, and I will be going to get my parents. We'll be gone for a few days, and I need you to be careful while we're gone." I tried to put emphasis on my warning, but I didn't want it to be too obvious just in case the Lorans were somewhere nearby. The last thing I needed was Lady Lorand and her nose deeper in my business than she already was.
"Did you get another package?"
Janel whispered with a glance around. "No," I said. "But there was a threatening note, and I'd feel better knowing that you're safe while we're away."
"We will be,"
Ilara piped up.
"The Lorans have invited me to stay here with Janel, and they've got so many guards it's like we're royalty." "Yes, my love,"
Janel said.
"Go get your parents and hurry back."
She blew a kiss at me through the mirror, then waved at Taslin and Nora before the mirror faded to falling leaves. I sighed, then reassured myself that she and Ilara would be safe with the Lorans and their small army of guards. I'd still feel better if they were with us, but there was no way that Janel would leave when there was still so much to do, and Ilara would be there with her too, so neither of them would be alone. "All right," I said as I stuffed the communication mirror into my pocket and turned to the two ladies next to me. "Nora, would you mind doing your thing and shrinking the spy mirror into a pendant?"
"Yes, master,"
she said, then snapped her fingers. The medium-sized mirror shrank to the size of my thumb at her command. "Are the runes still working?" I asked Taz.
"Yes."
"Perfect. Well, that's one thing down."
"How far away are your parents?"
the sexy fox woman said as she turned her amber eyes toward me. "They live in Sonnenblum Village," I said. "It's about a week south of here. Nora, do you think you can transport us there? We'll need an enchanted carriage to get back on time, too."
"I don't know what it looks like there, so I wouldn't be able to take us there without a map or some other visual,"
she said.
"I can summon an enchanted carriage for us to take us there and then transport us all back together since I know what the lab looks like."
"Thank you." I gave her a kiss on the cheek. "That'll be perfect."
"I want to make sure the wards are still going strong before we go,"
Taslin said.
"And we need to hide the spy mirror."
"Okay. Why don't you two check the wards and barriers while I stash this and pack a few things?"
"You don't need to pack anything,"
Nora said with a smirk.
"You keep forgetting. I can get you whatever you need."
"True," I said. "I just don't want you to have to do everything."
"I enjoy serving my master,"
she said with a wave of her hand.
"Let's go check those barriers. Can you check the wards while I take a trip to the library?"
Taslin asked.
"Of course,"
Nora grinned.
"I should be back soon,"
Taslin said as she turned to me.
"I know exactly what I'm looking for."
"Okay, just be careful while you're gone."
"I always am."
She winked at me, then led Nora outside. I watched them go, and once again I was in awe that I had somehow won the hearts of not one, but four amazing women. With a shake of my head, I grabbed the spy pendant and looked around my laboratory for a good place to hide it. The black powder was almost done, but I wasn't sure I wanted to put the magical device into explosives. Even if it wouldn't ruin the magic, I didn't want the chance of something happening and it exploding. The stone next to my bed had been my usual spot, but it just wasn't secure enough. So I finally decided to put it under the loose stone in the shower where I doubted anyone would know to look.
"The laboratory will be secure while we're gone,"
Caslin said, as she walked back in with Nora right behind her. "Great," I grinned at them. "Then should we go?"
"Yes,"
Nora said, then clapped her hands together. The walls of my laboratory fell away to be replaced with the inside of a black carriage. Taslin and Nora sat beside me on red cushioned seats that were big enough that we could stretch out our legs as the enchanted transport started to move.
"Taslin showed me a map of Sonnenblume Village from the library. That will be enough for me to get us there,"
the gorgeous Jin next to me said as she leaned against me. "Really?" I asked, while I pulled her warm body a little closer. "You guys weren't gone that long."
"We need to get there fast, and the carriage will be better for coming back,"
Taslin said with a shrug.
"Your parents are human. I'm not sure how they would take to being transported by magic."
"That's a good point," I said, then leaned over to kiss her cheek. "Speaking of my parents being human," I wrapped my free arm around the fox woman to press her against me.
"Will they have a problem with me?"
Taslin asked with a twitch of her tail. "No," I said. "But my village is..." I looked between the two women and my heart swelled with love for them. "My village would have trouble understanding our relationship."
"Oh?"
Nora asked as she trailed kisses over my neck to distract me. "Monogamy is important to them," I said, as I tried to focus on what had to be said and not the heat that spread from everywhere her lips touched.
"So what should we tell them?"
Taz questioned. "We'll tell them the truth," I said, "but we'll leave some parts out. You two are bridesmaids and friends of myself and my fiancé."
"Okay,"
Taslin said.
"Why don't I disguise myself as a boy?"
Nora said as she pulled away from me.
"That way you won't be surrounded by women."
Her form shifted, and her breasts disappeared to become a man's slightly chiseled chest, while her long tresses shortened into a man's haircut. Her jawline was still slightly feminine, and her cheekbones were flawless, but she had the appearance of a young man rather than the sexy woman who had just cuddled up to me. "That'll work," I said, though I already missed the softness of her body and was a little unnerved by the sight of her as a man. "We'll tell them all eventually, but until the wedding it might be best just to keep our situation a secret."
"It's fine,"
the djinn said.
"We're here, by the way."
She waved a hand toward one of the windows. I glanced out of the carriage window to see Sonnenblume Village right outside. The place had not changed much in the years since I'd left. The same squat buildings with swirling gables surrounded a central lake, and on the edges of the village were the villagers' farm plots with big barns. The lake looked like it had still not thawed from its winter freeze, even though it was already late spring, and I made a mental note to check it later. "You're amazing," I told the disguised woman.
"Where's the bakery?"
she asked, and tried to hide how pleased she was, but the smile and blush that colored her cheeks gave her away. "Follow the smell," I said with a grin, and was immediately hit by the glorious smell of fresh-baked bread.
"It smells fantastic,"
Taslin said as she sniffed the air. "My parents make the best bread and cakes," I guaranteed. "I can hardly wait for you to meet them." I stared out of the window as the carriage drove itself through the small town that I had once called home. I recognized a few of the faces that peered up at us as we passed, but those of the younger children were completely foreign to me. I was sure that by the time dinner came around, the entire town would know that I had returned, and I had no doubt that the fancy enchanted carriage wouldn't fail to impress them.
"I think we're here,"
Taslin said as we came to a stop. My old home stood on the right side of the hard dirt-packed street. A balcony jutted out from the second floor, and the curtains were pulled closed while the family was downstairs in the shop. The windows of the first floor displayed rows upon rows of sweet treats with colorful frosting made to look like flowers, and trays stacked high with loaves of bread. It was a humble place, and I felt proud of not only where I'd come from, but also where I'd ascended to in the world. I could smell the fresh rolls even before we opened the carriage door and climbed down. The front door to the bakery swung open even before my foot hit the pavement, and I grinned as an older couple hustled out.
"Zaire!"
my mother grinned as she rushed forward to wrap her flower-covered arms around me. She was still thin and petite, with a hidden strength gained from years of helping her husband lug around pastries and breads. Her hair was pulled back into a steel-gray bun to keep it out of the batter, and her smile was still brighter than the summer sun.
"What are you doing here? And in such a fancy carriage.
Son, my father said with a warm smile as he came out of the store. It's good to see you. He had aged since I'd seen him last, but my father still had the same broad shoulders and large muscles from hauling giant bags of flour around the kitchen. His hair was thick and cut short, but there were more streaks of gray than before. Hi, Mom, Dad, I said in turn. I came to get you and bring you back to the city. I couldn't contain the joy in my voice or the smile on my face as I looked at them. Why do we need to go to the city with you? My father asked. Are you in trouble? No, I said, even though the Rossanos' threats and the looming war were still in the back of my mind. I'm getting married.
What?
My mother clapped her hands together.
Oh, and you must be his fiancé.
She quickly swiped her hands over her apron to clean some of the icing from them before she offered a handshake to Taslin.
I'm not.
Taslin said, even as she took my mother's hand. That's Taslin, I explained when my mom turned confused eyes to me. She's one of the bridesmaids and a close friend. My fiancé Janel is finishing up all of the wedding plans in the city.
Oh.
My mother nodded her head.
And you are?
She turned her attention to Nora as I realized we had not come up with a cover name for her.
You can call me Nor,
the disguised Jin said in a voice that was just barely low enough to be considered masculine.
Well, it's wonderful to meet you both, my father said. Why don't we go inside? We're just about to close up and have dinner.
That sounds fantastic, I said.
I can make us dinner,
Nora said as we followed my parents into the shop.
Oh, that's not necessary,
my mother responded while she flipped the open sign around, then locked the door.
It's really no trouble,
the djinn said.
I can use magic. I'm studying conjuring at this school. Do you like Dia Florian food?
Well,
the older woman glanced at me, then back to the woman in disguise.
I haven't had the chance to eat much of it.
Perfect.
Nora clapped her hands together.
It shall be my treat.
Oh, if you insist,
my mother said with a smile.
You're such a nice young man.
Thank you,
the usually gorgeous woman said with a laugh that sounded much more feminine than masculine. I followed after my father, who trailed behind my mom and Nora up the stairs to their living quarters. With a smile, I wrapped my arm around Taslin's waist and gave her a squeeze. I was happy to be home with my family after so many years, even if I wasn't able to tell them everything. Dinner went by fast as Nora and Taslin asked question after question about my childhood. My parents were all too willing to regale them with stories about my baking experiments and the disasters I had created. By the time they'd eaten, they were in tears as they told another story about my failings as a baker. Son, my father said when he had eaten his fill,
we should go for a walk.
Sure, I said. I'll be back. I glanced at my girls, then followed my father down the back stairs and to the village green everyone used to get some fresh air. Being away from Nora and Taslin was unnerving, but the older man clearly had something to tell me, and it probably had to do with getting married and advice on how to keep a marriage happy and healthy like he had. I'd wanted to have that conversation since Janel and I decided to get married, because I wanted what he and my mother had. Though I would need to multiply that by 4 in order to keep all of my ladies happy and content.
Zare, my father began when we were out of earshot of everyone. We need to have a serious talk about that fox girl.